Let's look at six distinctive characteristic traits of who God is. If you're taking notes, just mark that down. Six distinctive characteristic traits of who God is before you can adjust yourselves and worship unto Him. And the reason that we're filming this is because it's not going to stay here at Olivet. We've got to reach every church in our community. We've got to reach churches across this country. We are going to reach people with God's word. I'm saying to our church, you can't have church unless you understand the distinctives. You can't have church unless you understand who God is, what He wants to do in you. You can't have church unless you are obliging yourself to live for Him. And the church is not doing that. And all we're doing is bringing these little messages and so that we can keep our position. It is now time for us to get out of the pocket like a good quarterback, look for the receiver, and say, who's open? Who's open? Let me tell you something. The church isn't open to receive the pass. You can't receive the pass. Here you running and I'm looking trying to throw it, and you still trying to figure out, are you Baptist? Are you Methodist? Are you look for you. Are you saved? Man, you don't even know who God is. Can't do anything for Him. Let's look at the first distinctive, that God is the creator of all mankind. You have your Bibles, right? Let's use them. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. First book in the Bible. We say it, that God is the creator of all men. It reads like this. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day when God created man, He made him in the likeness of God. In other words, God fashioned you. God created you. God made you. Darwinism, out of the window. I know they're teaching you, throw that junk out. God created you. Your mother and father got together, threw an egg and some sperm, and you popped forth. God knew what He was doing. He created you. I don't care what they teach you in school. I don't care how far humanism carries this world. God communicates that He has created us. Stay in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. I have to show you that God created you. You can't worship Him, right, unless you know that He created you. Exodus 4, 11 says, and the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Oh, what a rhetorical argument here. Or who makes him dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Then he says, is it not I, the Lord? The Lord says, I made your mouth. I gave you vision. I gave you hearing ability. I've created the nerves in your body so that when you feel something, you feel it. I've given you an appetite. I've created you. Stop acting like you come from a bullfrog and stand up and start acting like Homo sapiens, men and women created by God for a purpose in your lives. Stop acting like you don't know what to do. You know what to do. He's told you what to do. Now get up and do it. Let's go now to the book of Job. You might say, is there any good thing in the book of Job? I believe that it is. Since it is the word of God, it can't be bad. Amen. Job chapter 10. Job chapter 10. Job chapter 10 verse 8 reads like this, and we're just going to read just a few verses there. Job 10 and 8 says, thy hands fashioned and made me altogether, and wouldest thou destroy me? Job says, hey, God, your hands have fashioned and made me all together. Job is in chaos in his life now. He's sitting on an ash heap, sickness and pus all over him, and Job says, your hands have created me. Going down to verse 9, Job continues, remember now that thou hast made me as clay, and wouldest thou turn me into dust again? Job says, you made me out of the dirt, and you can turn me into the dirt. Those of you that are following erroneous doctrine that believe that you are the creator of your own destiny, you're out of your mind. God created you. Stay in the book of Job. Look at verse 11. Clothe me with skin and flesh, and knit me together with bones and sinews, that is, muscles. Job is saying, you gave me muscles, flesh, and bones. You put me together. This thing didn't happen by accident, by chance. It was planned. God is the creator of all men. I'm telling you, when He clothes you with skin, that means that the process is yet going on. If I were to cut my hand, my friends, if I were to cut my hand, God has given the process to knit that skin back together and to heal perfectly. God created me and He knew exactly what He was doing when He did it. Look at verse 12 of Job chapter 10. He says, Thou hast granted me life and loving kindness, and thy care has preserved my spirit. Job says, not only have you created me, but you care for me so much that my spirit is intact. How many of you Christians are walking around acting like heathens and sinners, totally out of your mind, don't know what to do, and your spirit is acting like you're of the world, confused, deluded, dissected, out of joint, out of sync? Call yourself a Christian on Sunday morning, and on Monday you're living in a world of chaos. My friends, you don't know who created you. God created you. Now let's go to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 119. Is that the largest or the smallest chapter in the Bible? The largest chapter in the Bible. If you read your Bibles, you would know that. There is not one chapter larger than this one. Psalm 119, we're going to focus upon verse 73. Verse 73. And we're going to look at God creating us. For it says, Thy hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn Thy commandments. Here the psalmist says, Your hand made me, fashioned me. You didn't do this on your own. The problem with us today is that we get so much education, so much money, so much land, so much houses, and all this stuff, we think that we're in charge. Here the psalmist said, You made me, You fashioned me, You created me, You're doing all this, and all we're supposed to do is to give Him the praise so He can lift us up, and we're so busy trying to affirm ourselves. My friend, now let's go to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to look at verse 18. You know, often when folk come to Olivet, they say, you people use your Bible more in one morning worship service than I do all week. What a tragedy! You mean to tell me you don't open the book all week? No wonder you can't find 1 Corinthians. Get in the habit of reading God's Word. I'm telling you, my friends, in this verse we see that God has a place for each of us to function as He wills. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. It says, But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired. You know what that verse is telling me, friends? That verse is just telling me, plain and simple, that I am not a mistake in the church. I'm not a mistake in the church. There's a place for me in the church to function. There's something for me to do in the church. How many of you are in church and you don't know what to do yet? How many of you have been in church and you still don't know what to do? How many of you have been in church for years and you still don't know what God wants you to do? Some of you have come here this morning and you've seen people since you walked in, moving, buzzing in ministry, doing something. There's something that God wants us to do. He created us to do more than come down and sit down and listen to a preacher and look at the show and get up and move. You belong in ministry. I didn't think about this, but I think you better turn there with me right now to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at it because I know that you don't believe me. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 11. See, you don't believe me yet. You don't believe Pastor John. You don't believe the Word. You are too fixated on what other churches are doing. And I'm telling you, they're dying where they sit. They're dying because there's nothing going on. The Apostle Paul writes and he says, And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastor teachers. Why did he give them? For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Verse 13 is the key. For it says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the mature man, to the measure of the stature, which belongs to the fullness of Christ. There's no maturity, there's no growing, because I'm going to tell you why there isn't, my friends. You don't know the issues of family life because you're too busy trying to get the preacher to do it for you. And that joker never could. If he tries to do it for you, he's operating outside of the sphere that God has given him. Every true preacher of God is nothing less than a prophet of God, and a prophet of God that is going to tell the people of God exactly where they ought to be, and in most cases, he's going to jam them because the people don't want to hear anyhow. It is my premise, as I conclude on that God is the creator of all men, that we live within a society that is not only forsaken the concept of God who creates, this same society has sustained itself of the idea that they don't need a personal God anymore. We live in an environment that is teaching us we don't need a personal God. You are well enough on your own without Him. When is the last time, Pastor John, have you ever seen God work in your life? I'll tell you when, this morning. This morning, here in the church, I've seen him work in the life of this church. 10 minutes ago, I see him work every moment of my existence. When I look in the mirror, I say, gee, you still love me? You've got to be a loving God. Because if I were God, I would have given up on me 20 years ago. See, but you don't see God that way. Let's move on down. Let's move on down. Second point. We said, number one, that God is the creator of all men. Second point, that God is very omnipotent.